Mentioned it earlier and it's in your bulletin, but just want to remind everybody today is our business meeting. And I was talking to Chad outside this morning as we were walking around the property. And I said, well, Chad, today could be the day. And he said, it was nice knowing you. And but praise the Lord, man. This will now be our third or fourth business meeting that we've endured, and it is always a wonderful thing. I can't wait until the business meeting today because I'm ready for Lynn Portell to share an announcement that I have been just wanting to share for some time, but I feel as fit that he would share it and explain what has happened over the last few months and 2 years of time, and I just can't wait for that. So if you're here at the first service, go get some breakfast. You will beat everyone to the restaurant. Come back around 11:30 for our business meeting and enjoy some lunch and have a great time learning what's happened over the last year and what we hope to do over the next year. And it's going to be a great time. But as you open your Bible, if there's any kids or so that need to go down, they can. At this time, I think everyone's already gone. But we're going to go to the book of Haggai. The book of Haggai. And we're going to be there for a few weeks. And I shared in the private Facebook group for you to turn your Bible to the book of Haggai, because for some of you, it may take, like it did me for a while, about 10 or 15 minutes to finally find this thing in the middle of the Old Testament, or towards the end of the Old Testament. Haggai is considered as a minor prophet, roughly 500 years or so before Christ. Some say anywhere between 500 to 600 years before the birth of Christ. Here comes this prophet to the people. Give you a little context of time and where we're at. The exiles from the Babylonian captivity have now returned home. And due to Persian power, they actually conquered the area in which the Babylonians kept the Hebrews, the Israel people. And because of that, it pushed the exiles back to their homeland of Judah. And here we are, and Haggai is a prophet. And we're roughly 20, some believe anywhere between 20 to 40 years post-exile return. So they have come back from being enslaved almost, if you would, as slaves and held in captivity. And now they have returned home, and they have been home for roughly 20 to 40 years. And this is where we pick up. And it says, in the second year of Darius, the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak. If you're ever reading names in the Old Testament, let me give you a word of encouragement. Just read them real hard. Don't try to stutter over them. Just read them with confidence and fake it if you have to. All right, just do it. Just read them, and then you can look them up later and correct yourself. But I'm telling you, there's nothing worse than trying to pronounce some of these names. Just read right over them and keep moving. And Jehozadak, the high priest, thus says the Lord of hosts, these people, talking about the exile returns, the remnants of the people, say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet. And he said, Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it, and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts, because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and what the ground brings forth on man and beast, and on all their labors. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. And the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message. I am with you, declares the Lord. I am with you, declares the Lord. In verse 14 it says, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, and the spirit of Joshua, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and they worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. And that's all I want to read today. And over the next few weeks, I mentioned in the Facebook group, and I just mentioned it, I want to preach through this book of Haggai. He's a minor prophet that's oftentimes just kind of skipped over so that we can really preach good stuff. You know, we are more than conquerors. And he's often kind of passed over because we want to hear the words of, I can do all things in Christ. And those are all great to hear and great to preach. But sometimes we need to get back to what God may be wanting to do in us right now, rather than some maybe cliche things that have happened over time, or things that we just hope to happen for us. And maybe they will and maybe they won't. But I want to title this, as you saw on the first screen, Renew Your Vision. Renew the vision. Because I truly believe that God has positioned us as a church, and you as an individual, part of this body, in a very particular season of time. In a very critical season of time. If you could, just take a big breath with me. If you could, just kind of breathe it in. Like the doc was saying, let it go. Do one more. You guys sounded pretty good. Just do one more. Two breaths that you will never get back. Whenever you leave here today, maybe around 9, I might go till 9:15 if I'm really feeling frisky this morning. Maybe 9:20. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to hold you all day. But did you know that you will never get the time back that you just spent sitting in this church? Let's just take a second and kind of reflect on where you are in life. I'm a ripe old age of 28 years young. And I graduated high school, wanted to go to college and try to play ball somewhere. But one, I had no offers, and two, I had no intentions to go to school. So I said, okay, Marine Corps, here we go. And I didn't want to go to college. And I joined the Marine Corps. And Mikhail and I got married. And now we have three girls and we're home. But those 4 years in the Marine Corps went extremely fast. And I've been at Pleasant Hill now for over 3 years. And I started Bible college, and I was doing Bible college, and we moved home, and I worked job after job just trying to provide. And here we are. I'm now serving in the church and pastoring at Pleasant Hill, and getting to know more people and new people and more people, and getting to see you all do the work of the ministry by going out and sharing the gospel with friends and family, inviting people in to hear the gospel. And it's been a wonderful journey, but it has been already over 3 years now. And I wonder, where in the world did time go? Where in the world has time went? I'm 28 years old. So if the people had been back for 20 years at this point, I want you to just think to yourself for just a second. Where were you 20 years ago? Do you remember it? Some of y'all are way too young to remember it. You weren't even 20 years old yet. But for those of us who are a little older in life and a little more seasoned, tell me if you remember being 20 years younger. Just tell me. Do you remember? Some of y'all are getting old enough to where you may not remember 20 years ago. And that's okay. I'll be there too. But on a serious note, just think to yourself, 20 years ago, I was 8 years old. And I can remember playing baseball, and I went to Valley High School in Caledonia, Missouri. Or Valley Elementary School in Caledonia, Missouri. And 8 years old, I can remember my very first base hit as a seven-year-old playing in the Bantam League of the Valley, whatever we were. I can remember getting my very first hit against the Park Hills Wolves. And I was so excited. I was overwhelmed with joy that I got to first base and I peed my pants. And I was sitting there and I was like, Coach, I got to go to the bathroom. He's like, you got to wait. I was like, I can't wait. He's like, you just got to wait. I just let it go. That was 20 years ago, me. And it's embarrassing to share, but I'm trying to win you over today. Today's a big day for me, all right? But that was 20 years ago. Just think to yourself, 20 years ago, where were you? 20 years ago. This will be my 10-year out-of-school anniversary year. And it has happened like that. Man, just like that. Some days I wake up and my feet hurt from the day prior. That didn't happen 2 years ago. But just like that, time flies. 20 years they have been back, maybe even longer. And the Lord, for 20 years, has been seeing a group of people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the temple. The time hasn't come yet. The time hasn't come. So I want to ask you, where you were 20 years ago, have you done what you said you were going to do 20 years ago? And are you going to do now, moving into the next 20 years, what you've always dreamed of doing or what God has laid on your heart? What is it that you promised 20 years ago? I would never go back to this, or I'll never be like that, or I'm going to change this. What has not changed? Because 20 years will go in a hurry. And 20 years from now, I will be 48 years old with a 26-year-old, a 24-year-old, and a 21-year-old. That is mind-blowing to me that I will be that old. But it'll happen like that. And at 26, as they all marry doctors and lawyers and make loads of money and take care of daddy, I will have maybe grandbabies if I have the honor of being a granddad. I could be a grandpa in 20 years. Amen. But what I want you to understand is that 20 years will go in a hurry. The time that you have in this morning, this is why I get so, not worried, but so concerned about the time that we have in this place, because you will never get this hour back. And I want it to be the best hour that you can have while you're here. I don't want you to eat, snacks or empty calories. I want it to be steak and potatoes from the moment you walk in this place until the moment you leave. I want you to leave this place differently than maybe than you came in. I want you to receive something each and every week that you can take out into your world and truly apply it. And I want God to speak directly to you. I don't want you to come in here wasting your time. I want you to come in here to worship the Lord and to receive something directly from Him to you. Because 20 years will go by in a hurry. So let's just put into perspective in our world. When the people were concerned with building their own homes, they were taking the wood that God told them to go and to get for His home, and they were taking it and they were putting it to use, but they were putting it to use for themselves, and they were taking the wood and they were taking the resources that God had blessed them with, and they were building their own homes. They were building their own names. They were trying to rebuild the city that had been, slightly or in some areas completely devastated, and they're trying to build it back up, and they're working day after day, month after month, year after year for 20 years or longer to build back their own homes. And when they would say the time has not yet come in that day, it translates to, I'm praying about it in our day. I'm thinking about it. God was wanting them to build back His temple. Now, God isn't going to call us to build a temple over here, but He is calling us to build His kingdom. He is calling us to build His church. He is calling us to make disciples. He is commanding us to go and to preach the gospel to all people. He is commanding us to be a light in this darkness. He is commanding us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We may not build a physical body or a physical building as they were in this particular day, where the Spirit of the Lord would dwell and where His presence would be known. But He is commanding us and calling us to do His work on this earth. And maybe you have been saying, I'll think about it. I'll pray about it. Maybe there have been ministry opportunities for you to get involved in, or people for you to share the gospel with. And you've told yourself, if I just had more time, if I just had more money, I could give to the church, or I could give to people in need, or I could help feed people who have none. If I just had more resource. And resource that I want to do in this series is define resource as your time, your energy, and your money. And this is what I've always heard, and you've heard, and I'll remind you, you will always find resource for what you want. You will always find resource for what you want. You will always find more time to do what you want to do. You will always find more energy to do what you want to do. You will always find money to spend on what you want. So the question is, are you exhausting your resources for the right reasons? Are you so consumed with building your own home, your own legacy, your own life, living everything for you, everything for me? Are we so consumed in this culture in which we live in that it's all about me, it's all about now, and all the while, whenever we finally breathe our last breath and we are lowered into the ground, none of that will ever be known to us again? Are we so concerned about building up our homes just as these people were? And what I've come to realize is that the people of this day, just like the people of our day, the people then would say, the time has not yet come. And people in our day will say, I'll pray about it. Or I'm not quite there yet. Or I would like to be. If I had more money, if I had more time. We all say, if you've never said, I wish I had more time, then you're probably lying. I wish I had more money. I wish I had more energy. Then I could exhaust my resources for the right reason. Then I could give what God has given me financially to the church or to the work of the ministry or to people who are in need. Or then I could give of my time. I just don't have enough time yet. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, are we prioritizing God's provision and putting it to purpose? Are we exhausting our resources for the right reason? I'm not telling you to quit your job or to go and to just say, don't ever pay me again. Just give it all to people in need. I'm not telling you to do that. What I am telling you is to align your ways with God's ways and your will with God's will. He may bless you with lots of money or lots of time so that you can bless someone or many other people. He may bless you with something that you don't even know it is a blessing for you to bless someone else. He says this over and over throughout these first few verses. He says, consider your ways, consider your ways, consider your ways. Just as he is saying there, I believe God is telling us now to consider our ways. Because just as the people were then, we are today a people of procrastination. I'm not there yet. Time has not yet come. I would love to be. If I had more, one day. And what's scary is that the devil will deceive us into believing procrastination to be patience. He will deceive us into believing procrastination to be patience. Oh, we're just waiting until we're better. Oh, we're just waiting for more. We're just making sure we have more resource. And God was telling the people there, No. The time is now. It is now for you to align your ways with my ways. He was telling them, it is now for you to align your will with my will. He said, it is time now for you to prioritize my provision. You've been taking the wood. The wood's already there. But you've been taking it and you've been exhausting it for yourselves. And you've been building up your own homes. And all the while you have left my temple and my house in ruins. Because you've been busy with yourself. Could it be that our busyness will distract us from the building that God is wanting to do with you? Could it be that we will find ourselves just chasing busyness? Let me ask you, what do we always say to people when they ask us, hey, how's it been? I've just been so busy. I've just been so busy, man. I've just been so busy, girl. I've just been doing everything. I've been working all the time. I'm just so busy. I'm just so busy. What are you busy doing? I know at times I'm guilty of busyness for my own self. Try to work more hours to make more money to go on more vacations. I love to travel, y'all. I love it. And I love Airbnb. Whoever invented Airbnb and Vrbo for all the poor folk that need a good place to stay while they're in Florida or wherever, they have changed the world. Seriously, they have changed the world. Y'all stay at the Hiltons and Hamptons or whatever. I got the Airbnb. I'm in somebody's back bedroom and we're just hanging out for a week while I'm in Florida. But I love to go. So if I'm not careful, I will catch myself working more to be gone more, to travel more. And there's nothing wrong with it, but if I am chasing busyness for my own building, then I am sinning and neglecting the building that God is wanting me to do. Because I am all about people traveling and getting away and resting. But if we are building ourselves up with the resources God has blessed us with, we are neglecting the calling and the building that God is wanting to do. And we are in a very, very cool season as a church. I'll just say cool. Challenging at the same time, because you think you're tired of coming here at 8 o'clock. You should be ready to preach at 8 o'clock. I'm exhausted sometimes. And sometimes I'm running downstairs because I forget the communion's not out. Or I'm telling my wife, hey, you better get those three kids ready and be at church at 7:50 or 7:55. And let's just act like we got it all together. Just put a smile on and get the kids up. Get over here. Let's go. It's 8 o'clock. Come on. And there's a lot, but I'm busy. But it's really cool and it's really, really neat season that we're in, because here in a little over an hour and a half, we'll have another service and it'll probably be full and jam-packed and we'll have a big business meeting and all these cool things. But here's the thing. I want you to think about how in the world you're sitting in the pew that you're sitting in right now, where you are. So remember, 20 years will go like that. So are we spending our time, our energy, and our money for our building? Are we exhausting our resources for the right reasons? Because here in 20 years, it'll be just like that. And you'll be doing another evaluation. How did the last 20 years go? And then 40 years, or whoever lives to be another 60 years old. Ask some of the people that have been around the block for a while how fast life goes. My grandmother tells me all the time, she's 72 or 3 now, and she's told me for years, the older you get, the faster it goes. Some of y'all are shaking your head. I'm not calling you old. I'm just telling you, you know. All right, you know. But you know. And I'm starting to learn. So over the next 20 years, are you going to prioritize the provision of God and put it to purpose? So just think about it. The last 20 years, this went by like that. Did you know that this church is over 150 years old? 150 years old. So how in the world are you sitting in the pew that you're sitting in right now on this beautiful March 1st morning of 2020? 150 years old. Let me just tell you this. The fruitfulness of the present that we are witnessing on a weekly basis of 200 or 220 people coming and hearing the gospel preached and then taking it into the world, the fruitfulness of this present time is because of the faithfulness of our past. Because people recognized the provisions that God has given to them and they prioritized it. Now, I'm not saying 150 years ago they envisioned that we would have to have two service times. I'm pretty sure they probably didn't think about that. I'm pretty sure 150 years ago they never had envisioned that we would have to ask people to park people outside so we can maximize our space, the limited space that we do have. I'm not saying 150 years ago they had envisioned that the building space that we do have is rather small, and which God has done through this place, and that, you know, we have been busting at the seams for a while now to open up another service time. I bet 150 years ago they didn't envision what has happened that we get to witness on a weekly basis. So what I want you to know is, don't take this for granted. You should appreciate the faithfulness of people that have been maybe even passed away for decades now. It was their faithfulness that has led to this fruitfulness that we get to live in and we get to be a part of and we get to enjoy and we get to have a good time with. But here is the thing. If we are not faithful now, there may not be fruit later. So here's one of the most exciting things about being where I'm at. I love preaching and I love, you know, open up the word and digging into it with people. But one thing that really excites me is to know that here in just a few years, because it happens like that,
My girls will be growing up and participating in ministry. And though I love preaching, and I love this church, and I love you all, eventually God's going to call me from this pulpit. I may be middle-aged, or I might be at retirement age. I don't know what God's going to do. I don't ever plan on leaving. But God may call me, or God will tell me one day to just shut up and let someone else better do it, and that time may come. Some people say it's already come and gone, but that's beside the point. But on a serious note, there's going to be a time in which I am not standing here. I have enjoyed every single opportunity. And I have been enthusiastic as could be each and every week. Even though it may be challenging, it is so encouraging to me to see people's lives changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to see them washed whiter than snow by the blood that He shed. Not just for me, but for you too. But one thing that I get so excited about is to see what my girls could be a part of. One day as I get old, and I'll probably be a grumpy old man, and I'll have my daughters and maybe even my grandkids coming to tell me what God is doing in their lives. Do you know how encouraging it is for me to know that there may be a time in which I grow older and I get to hear stories of young preachers or middle-aged preachers or old preachers standing from this pulpit and seeing hundreds of people's lives change, maybe even thousands of people's by then. I don't know what God's going to do. But I promise you this, we will not see fruit to come if we aren't faithful now. God is calling us into a season of faithfulness, a season of repentance, a season of surrender, so that we can see fruit in the years to come. If it wasn't for the building of the people before us, we would not sit where we sit today. We wouldn't have what we have today. It was the faithfulness of our past that has led to the fruitfulness of our present. So God was telling them, you keep telling me the time is not yet come, but I'm telling you it's time now. So let me just ask you personally, have you been telling God, I would love to, I had more time, if I had more money, I'm not quite ready yet. And I would think that God would be looking at you and telling you the time is now. The time is now for you to surrender. The time is now for you to step out in faith, step out of your comfort zone. The time is now for you to share the gospel with someone you love, someone you know that is far from Christ, and you know they need to be set free, they need to be delivered. Because I cannot wait. I cannot wait. And the reason I titled this particular series, Renew the Vision, is because we don't come in here to just do the same old, because we've always done the same old. We come in here because we have a vision of seeing more people saved. We have a vision of seeing people that aren't even in this church yet filling up that seat and that seat and that seat. Why? Because they have been set free by the gospel of Jesus. The Spirit of God has radically transformed their lives. That is why we must remain focused on the vision. The vision is never to celebrate what we have done in the past. The mission and the vision is to commit ourselves to what God is going to do in the future and what God may be wanting to do through you. You may have people in your life that you could reach, but you have been telling God, not now. The time has not yet come. And I want you to know that if we live in procrastination, the devil will deceive us into believing that it is actually patience. All the while, it's procrastination, and God would be looking at the people and saying, for 20 years now, you've been telling me this. For 20 years now, you've been taking the resources that I have been given to you and been building them for yourselves. For 20 years now, you haven't prioritized my provisions. And all the while, you've been harvesting little, even though you've sown much. You've been working long hours, yet you have nothing. You have been eating and feeding, but you still feel empty. And God said, I blew it away. All of the labor was in vain because you were more focused on building your own house. You were more focused on building yourself than building what God had called them to, or what God may be calling us to. And the Bible says that God stirred their hearts. God stirred their hearts. And I want you to know that I might be able to help you or comfort you or encourage you to do something. But you will never do the work of the ministry or the work of your calling if you do not allow God to stir your heart. If you do not find yourself in His presence, you will never experience His power. I can encourage you. I can try to motivate you to reach out to that person or to bring him to church next week. But if you don't allow the Spirit of God to stir your heart, you will be laboring in vain day after day. And 20 years will like that. And you'll be saying to yourself, man, saddest thing I think I could ever tell my girls when I grow older is, I wish I would have. Man, if I had just, I wish I would have. I thought about, I wish I would have. I thought God was calling me to it, but I was scared. I wish I would have. And I don't want anyone in this place to think to themselves, I wish I would have. Rather be able to say, I'm so glad that I did. Because in 20 years, it'll just happen like that. And we'll look at where we are in 20 years. And what I want us to do as a church, when it comes to our body, is to be able to say, wow, we're so glad we did. We're so glad we stepped out of our comfort zone. We're so glad that we moved, even though we were a little afraid to. I don't ever want us to grow into this season of comfortability, just dwelling on what God's done, but moving forward and what God's wanting to do. And I believe, and here's something I'm going to have to discern over time. They say wisdom comes with age. And God gave my wife discernment, and I have yet to find it. And she has much more discernment than I do. And what I want to truly test is this impression or this inspiration that I may have. And it may be from me, but it may be also from God. And it's going to take me weeks or months or maybe even a couple of years to discern this. But I have this feeling, because we have much potential in this church. We have much potential. But like I said last week, if potential isn't connected to purpose, we have no production. I just have a feeling like if we were to examine where we are and to exhaust our resources for the right reason, to put into purpose God's provision to us and prioritize what it is God's calling us to, I just have this feeling that we have not seen anything yet. Yeah, it is something to see where we are. And you can ask some of the people that have been here a while. It is so incredible to see what God has done. But I think He is calling us to a season of faithfulness right now so that 10 years, 20 years, 30 years or beyond, there will be a season of fruitfulness that we have never even began to understand or imagine. But it's going to come down to our faithfulness now. It's going to come down to your faithfulness to the Lord now. You can never substitute God's service for our sin and expect the same thing to happen. We have to repent. We have to surrender. We have to chase after Him. We have to be faithful to Him. And I promise you that if we as a church will truly cherish this season that He has given us and exhaust our resources for the right reason, we will see a harvest that we have never even seen before. I can't wait to see what this place looks like when my girls are adults participating. I can't wait to see what this place looks like when my grandbabies are then the ones participating in ministry. I can't wait to hear the stories of hundreds of people that came to know Jesus because of this place. And it only will happen because of our faithfulness now. Because here's the thing. It's sad to say, but you and I will eventually become the past. And our past will become someone else's present. Our past will become someone else's present. So though you sit in that seat now, eventually someone else will. But if we do not focus and renew our vision for the building that God is wanting to do, it may just be left empty. And we'll think to ourselves, man, I wish I would have. I wish I would have. And I believe that God is calling us to this time, to this season of life as a church and you as individuals, to truly evaluate how you're exhausting your resources, your time, your energy, and your money, to ensure you're doing it for the right reasons. He says, and there are multiple times, consider your ways. And I will leave you with this, church. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. Are you exhausting for the right reason? Are you prioritizing God's provision? He's calling us to a season of building, a season of investing in people, a season of comforting people, a season of ministering to people. But don't keep saying the time hasn't come. Because as he told them, he said, it is now. What I believe God may be wanting to tell to some of you is that the time is now. But they were busy. They were busy, it says. They were busy. And we're all busy. We're all busy. Let me just leave you with this thought. Do not allow your busyness. Do not allow your busyness to cause you to miss out on the building. I know you're busy. I'm busy. He's busy. She's busy. We're all busy. But don't allow your busyness to cause you to miss the building that God wants to do with you. Let's pray.